Hi, this is Michael Senoff with HardToFindSeminars.com. Here is a 5-minute recording of nothing but messages being taken by my assistant Sarah and messages left on my voicemail machine. The results after I sent out 300 letters to injection molders. In this letter, I'm asking for specific things to identify injection molders who may be sitting on obsolete molds that I can possibly use and put back into use. What I'm searching for are hidden assets sitting in these molders' businesses. I'm looking for molds that maybe were once used with patented products or maybe running large volumes of products that were popular years ago, but for whatever reason the businesses went out of business or they filed bankruptcy or there were conflict between the partners and for whatever reason the production stopped. So many of these molding companies are sitting on lots of great tooling that the owners invested tens of thousands of dollars in developing, and they're not doing anything. This is to demonstrate the response of how effective this letter was, and calls will still be coming in, but this is just a sample from 3 days of calls. In the next recording, you're going to hear what took place on these calls, and you're going to hear all the molding and tooling that I dug out of them, that I know where it is, where it's located, what it used to make, the cost, what it was made of. This is an extremely exciting opportunity, and I hope to bring you more of it as I progress in this new field. Enjoy.
Sarah, how can I help you?
Hi, I got one of your flyers in the mail where you're looking to buy used injection molds.
Okay.
Are you interested in buying injection molding machines?
Actually, there's something I would need to have you speak with Michael directly about. I'm not exactly sure what he's looking for. Perhaps a number I could have him give you a call back at? Okay, and what is your name?
Boyd. I'm the owner.
All right, Boyd, I'll have him give you a call back as soon as he can. It shouldn't take too much longer. Michael Fenn's office, this is Sarah.
Hi, Sarah. Boyd, I was just talking to Mike, and there was one item that I forgot to tell him. He said if I thought of something to call him right back. Is he still there or no? Something else that he might be interested in clicked in my mind, and I've dug it out here. I'd like to talk to him about it.
Okay, I'll let him know to call you as soon as he can.
Thank you.
Michael Fenn's office, this is Sarah. How can I help you?
Yes, I got a letter here from Michael. And he's looking for injection molds. I might have some for sale. Is there any way that I could get a hold of him and talk to him?
He's not available to look. If I take a number, I can have him give you a call back.
Okay, tell him to call Leo.
Okay.
I'm usually here between 9 and 2 p.m. 9 a.m. 2 p.m.
Okay, I'll have him give you a call as soon as he can. It shouldn't be too much longer. He should be able to call you right back.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Michael
Senoff,
this is Sarah. How can I help you?
Michael to Michael Senoff.
Michael is not available at the moment. Can I take a message?
I received his letter,
and I would like to talk to him about this letter.
Is there a number he can reach you back yet?
0044 extension 358.
He'll call. Have him give you a call back as soon as he can.
Thanks.
Michael Senoff's office, this is Sarah. How can I help you?
This is a Mr. Merritt. I got a letter from Michael, that he'd like to buy obsolete injection molds.
That is something that you would need to speak with Michael directly about. That's unfortunately, right. He is tied up at the moment. Is there perhaps a number he could call you back at? Hey, and I'm sorry, what is your name?
Mr. Merritt.
Okay, Mr. Merritt, I'll have him give you a call as soon as he can.
Thank you.
Yes, I'm calling in regards to his letter that he sent me. He was looking for molding time.
Okay. He is actually not available at the moment, and you would definitely need to speak with him. Is there perhaps a number I can take and have him call you back?
My cell number is 949.
Hey, what is your name?
I'm Robert.
Michael Penis Office. This is Sarah. How can I help you?
Yeah, I'm responding to a letter I got from Michael about obsolete molds.
Okay. Michael is actually not available at the moment. You would definitely need to speak with him. Is there perhaps a number I can have him call you back at?
Sure.
Okay, you said 626, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, and what is your name?
Tom.
All right, Tom, I'll have him give you a call back as soon as he can. It shouldn't be too much longer. No, he is not available. Can I take a message?
Okay, and this is Marvin from Gentle Plastic. I received a letter from him, and he will make you my interest in mold.
Okay, is there a number he can reach you back at?
Yeah.
Okay, Marvin, I'll have him give you a call as soon as he can. It shouldn't be too much longer.
All right, thank you, Mike.
Michael Tennis Office, this is Sarah. How can I help you?
Yeah, I'm responding to a letter I got from Michael about obsolete molds.
Okay, Michael is actually not available at the moment. You would definitely need to speak with him. Okay, and what is your name?
Tom.
All right, Tom, I'll have him give you a call back as soon as he can. It shouldn't be too much longer.
Okay, bye.
Michael Tennis Office, this is Sarah. How can I help you?
Hello, is Michael available?
Not available at the moment. Can I take a message?
Well, can you tell me a little bit about the company, what you guys do there and everything? I got a flyer here in the mail from them saying that you buy obsolete injection molds.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a couple of large fellows injection molding presses and a number of old injection molds as well.
Okay. And what is your name, sir?
My name's Todd John.
Okay. As soon as Michael's back in, I'll let him know and have him give you a call, and I'm sure he can tell you what he's looking for and if that's going to be, you know, if he needs it right away and so forth.
All right. Well, thank you
very much. Okay. You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Hi. My name is Carol. This message is for Michael Senoff. My callback number is 760. Thank you.
Michael Senoff's office. This is Sarah. How can I help you?
Yes, Sarah. I received a letter from Michael about would like to buy your obsolete injection molder. I might have a few that I could get rid of.
That is something I would need to have you speak with Michael directly about. I'm not really sure what exactly he's looking for. Unfortunately, he is tied up at the moment, so it shouldn't be too long. Can I take a number, perhaps, and have him call you? I will have him give you a call as soon as he can. Michael Bennett's office. This is Sarah. How can I help you?
Yeah.
I'm an injection molder. Evidently, he wanted plastic parts run or something.
Okay. I will let him know to give you a call.
All right, thank you.
Hi, this is Michael Senoff with HardToFindSeminars.com. Now, in the next 60 minutes, you're going to hear and be able to sit in and listen in on conversations that I had with people responding from this amazing lead-generating letter. You will find how amazing it is to find people who are sitting on hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of tooling just sitting there doing nothing. And you'll also find how easy it is to talk to them. Keep in mind, these are people just like you and me. They've got tooling that's doing them nothing. I'm offering a chance to put that tooling into work and listen how I explore in the depths of their mind to think back in their careers all the different tooling from all the different exciting projects they had at one time. And I'm listening for items that sound interesting to me that I believe may have some potential. So you'll get a first-hand listen on exactly how I talk to these people, how I tell them why I'm calling. You'll hear the actual conversations take place, and I think you'll be absolutely amazed at some of the potential money-making projects that we uncover in these calls. And stay tuned for more. Enjoy. Hey, Roger, it's Mike Senoff out in San Diego.
Yes.
How are you?
Fine.
Good. You just called, and I had sent you a letter about some molds and stuff.
Right.
Do you have anything in mind that you just sitting there and not doing anything with?
I have one set of molds, about five tools in that. That could be available. And
what does it do?
It makes it's a holder for a baby bottle.
A baby bottle holder?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When's the last time you ran them?
Oh, probably about 2 years ago.
All right. Were you running a lot of them?
No. We ran a few thousand, and the company went bankrupt and owed me about $6,000.
There is, all right. So you own the molds?
I've got the judgment against the tooling, yes.
Okay. So is holding a baby bottle. It's hard. Do you know what the... I wonder if I could find out... So that you ran some of them, and they got them out in the market and failed, right?
Right.
All right. What... Did the product make sense to you? I know you're maybe not the market.
To a certain extent. It was a lot of assembly in one part of it that was a little time-consuming on them. And
were you doing the assembly in-house?
No, they were doing it.
Uh-huh.
They were doing the assembly. I just did the molding. It was a group of guys, and they tried to screw each other, I think.
Okay. Do you know if they ever... Was it a patented product?
I believe it was.
Okay.
And the owner of the patent sold it to this group that went under.
Okay. Do you have, by any chance, either on the mold, the patent number that I can go see what this thing is?
No, I never received a patent number to put on it.
You weren't even stamping a number on it?
No. It just says made in USA.
Do you know what they called the thing?
Let's see here. I got the box here.
I'm good at research. Okay, go ahead.
Easy. E is in Echo. Z is in Zebra. Baby Products was the name of it.
Mm-hmm.
And Tree Baby Feeder.
Huh. You know what? I think I know who this guy is. Was he... Yeah, I think I know exactly what this product is. It's really ironic. All right, hands-free baby feeder. All right, let me do some research on that. So, he only ran a couple thousand. All right, that's good to know. That's very good to know. Let me check this out. I want to just get a picture of what this product looks like. The assembly on it, what, do you think there was any kind of gluing involved?
No, it was just snapping together.
And it's five, to, and the molds, were they all single cavity?
No, some were two cavity. Most of them were two cavity, I think.
How much was all the molding, do you think, that they were supposed to pay you for? And was it expensive molding?
No, I'd have to look. It's been so long, I don't know what it would cost for the whole set, but it was under $2, I think.
Under $2 a unit. I mean, yes. To get the molding made. Did you make the actual dies?
No, the guy that owned the...
He just sent them.
He made the tooling.
Okay, and he sent them to you.
Yeah.
Okay. And they owed you $6,000, and you got the judgment for it.
Right.
How long ago was the judgment?
Oh, a couple of years ago.
Okay. All right, are you sitting on anything else like that?
Well, I'm sitting on a mold that the person died, and no one has ever contacted me back about who owns the mold or what. Never was patented. It makes a... It was a thing he was trying to market. It holds the trails for the wedding gowns and stuff.
Okay, it holds the trail like as a bride's walking.
The snap-on things that snap through the clothes, the wedding dress. He had a rental company at that time that wouldn't do damage to the clothes. And
well, that's interesting. Did you ever run a lot of them?
No, we only made a few hundred shots for him.
Okay, that's interesting. All right, anything else you can think of? Consumer-type products like that.
Well, let's see. I've got one mold here, and they said they'd discontinued that one. It just didn't go over for them. It was for veterinarians, a little goes on the... syringes.
Uh-huh.
Makes a flexible tip for, inserting liquids into the, ears or something of an animal.
Okay.
And that mold was set in here.
All right. Was that a patented type thing or no?
No, not that I know of.
Okay. All right.
I don't have any idea if they patented it or not.
Did you run a lot of them?
We ran a couple of hundred thousand for them in the beginning of our samples.
And they're real tiny little, how big is this thing?
Oh, it makes, let's see, one, two, three different parts. They're small. They're probably about, the longest one's about 2 inches long, and then it has a cap to go on the end of it.
Uh-huh.
I think it makes about 4 cavities of each one of them. I think there's 3 different parts to it.
Okay. Easy baby. I'm just looking at that easy baby bottle thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And the problem in that, you see the picture of it?
No, hold on. I'm just right at a, I see it. Hold on, let's see here. Shop for products. All right, what was the, it's the holder, right? It's not... I gotta find that. There's all kinds of stuff on here. I'll find it though. But tell me, what were you gonna say? The problem with that is, was what?
Was the flex part of it? They used the snap to hold the bottle to the shaft. You might say it hung from the window or the baby carriage or whatever.
Yeah.
It wasn't. They made it out of polypropylene, and what they designed that after was an item they use in machinist shops for. Transferring fluids and holding a certain position for the fluids.
Right.
To run on metal parts.
Yeah.
And they made theirs out of Delrin, and these people made this out of Polypro, which had too much slip to it.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't hold the weight of the bottle, is what I heard the last I heard of it.
Do you have a solution for it? Do you know of a better way to go?
Use the right material on it, but it put them out of the, I guess the pricing of the Delrin material was too high.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay,
and
all right.
You can buy that product off the shelf at different footages, you know, for like in a machinist shop or whatever.
Right.
But they had a tool melt for it, and I don't have the tool for that. Another molder has that one, but I have all the other components.
Okay. Okay, great. Okay, very good. All right, well, I will be in touch. Thank you very much for taking time with me.
All right.
All right, bye-bye. Hey, Boyd, this is Mike Sinoff here. You called earlier.
Oh, yeah, I got one of your flyers in the mail. I don't, you know, I've got a couple of molders on here, but I have to dig them out. But that's not what I called about. Are you interested in any injection molding machines?
Probably not. You getting out of the business?
No, I just got one that I took out of service because it was not what we were using anymore. It's a 75-ton Newberry.
Mm-hmm.
It's in excellent shape. It's an older one, but it's in excellent shape. It's a 4.5-ounce shooter. I've got a Marley tower that I could give with it and a Mokon mower heater. I let the whole thing go for $2,500.
Yeah. What do you think the real value of it is?
Maybe another 1,000 or 1,200.
Yeah, I'm really probably not. Are you still in the business though?
Oh yeah, I've been in business for 25 years.
Well, all right. Well, I appreciate you offering. I really do. I'm more interested in putting some dead molds that are sitting there like boat anchors in your place back to work. Maybe with you running them. If you've got any mold,
where's your marketing? Where are you?
That's what I'm doing. That's my marketing is large distribution, Home Depot, Home Expo, Lowe's, and international markets. That's what I am, a marketer first. So what I would ask you, can you think back of any stuff you were running big numbers on where maybe the company went bankrupt and you've got the molds or the partners were fighting or, you know.
I do. I've got some of them in there. High dollar parts too, but I don't know what you could do with them. But
well, that's why. Well, let me. If you can tell me what any consumer type products, what were they pumping out? What were you making with
okay,
it?
Okay, I was making parts for expensive bird cages for Petco.
For Petco,
Petco and several other were selling it, but the company actually was called Animal Environments.
Animal Environments with an S.
Yes.
Okay.
Animal Environment. I don't know.
All right.
Yeah.
And they were a manufacturer of bird cages?
Yeah, the high-dollar ones, the ones stainless steel or, you know, for parrots, expensive stuff. They didn't make any of them $15 things.
All right, and what parts were you making for it, the whole thing?
Well, I made feeders for them. I made connector pens that hold the cages together. I made hinge pens, several little items.
That went with those cages.
Yeah, went with those cages. Now, I know that some of those, I know there's still a market for the stuff because they were in business for years, and then they just got the feud in the husband and wife, and she ran it in the ground by buying everything, and they just walked away. They had a huge, I used to make the stuff and send it down there to Tijuana in the Mecador area there.
Yeah.
And then they finally got the Federales walked in and padlocked that place, and then they had a big 25,000 square foot building over there in Carlsbad.
Wow, how many of these parts were you putting out?
Oh, I was doing, I don't know, 20 grand a year, whatever that was.
So how many units, if you were to figure out how many?
I don't know, this was years ago, I still got all the molds, but
but the molds are really just for pieces of the cages.
Yeah, they weren't the whole cages.
Yeah, that's very interesting that you told me that. But that probably where was the company? Where were you? Where was the main company? Were they operating?
It was in Carlsbad and Tijuana.
What was the? Do you have the name?
I just told you, Animal Environment.
Oh, okay. Well, who was the lady you dealt with? I mean, who was the person doing the ordering?
Well, the woman I dealt with was one of the owners.
What was her name?
And it was Carmen Daly, but she's still around. I mean, you might be able to get a hold of her.
Okay. All right, interesting. Okay, and anything else you can think of?
No, not offhand.
Nothing offhand.
There's more around here, but I'd have to go dig through the
But nothing that sticks out in your mind like that?
No, There was a toy thing we did years ago that I have a brand spanking new mold.
What was it? Tell me.
10 or 12. Are you familiar with when the thing went on with the kids called Pogs?
Yes.
Okay. I have the slammer molds.
Okay.
I made millions of them suckers, and I built a brand new 10 or 12 cavity mold. I don't even remember what it was now. We built it, sampled it, and that's when the bottom fell out of it.
No shit. So you've got the slammers. Weren't the slammers made out of metal?
Some of them in the beginning, and then after that, we started making them out of glass-filled polycarbonate. And then they went to glass-filled anything.
What were? So did you have designs and stuff on the slammers?
Yeah, I've got several molds with different designs on them and all kinds of.
Now that's interesting, and that's how many cavity is that thing?
Well, okay, the big new mold that I built it with a blank front end, so we could either put what we wanted in it, mm-hmm. or they could. What they got into big time was before that fell apart was those. Multi laser cut decals.
Yeah, and they were sticking those on the front, on the flat end.
Yeah, the things that were really exotic looking.
Okay.
So when I designed the mold, I designed it with that in mind, thinking if it didn't fly for that, we would go ahead and put our own designs in it.
Okay.
So right now,
was there a lip that you could put the design in?
Yeah, it was class act.
All right.
And then the other molds I have designs. I've got all kinds of hot half parts that just entered. The way I designed my molds were. Six cavity on the other one,
uh-huh.
and then you would just swap the hot half, and you'd have a whole new set of designs right in the machine. But we were running them things by the millions. I mean, they were just everywhere.
Let me ask you: was there a company name on
no,
the mold?
No.
So it was all generic.
Yeah. Now, right at the end, we did have a name on them of what they called it. What the hell was it now? But no, what I've got is they're plain Janes.
Okay.
We had our own little thing on there called what the heck was it called? I don't know. Anyway.
All right, that's if you can think of it. This is good. See, I pushed you, and this is very interesting to me.
Well, you got a market for something like that?
There's a market for anything.
Yeah. Well, those things. I a matter of fact, I still have a few of them around here.
Few of that. And you were making them out of polycarbonate?
We made them out of anything.
Anything. But you couldn't make them out of metal, could you?
No.
Anything plastic, though?
Yeah, anything plastic.
What were you making them out of most, do you know?
Glass-filled anything.
You could fill them up with glass?
Yeah, we put about 10 to 15% fiberglass in them.
Uh-huh.
And that gave them that ring like metal when they drop them and things, you know.
And they were beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, when you put glass in them, it gives them a gunmetal texture.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So who was doing all the marketing for these?
I sold them to everybody. People, you know, swap meet guys were coming in. I sold them things by the truckloads. To everybody and his uncle.
Uh-huh. So you design and you own all the molds,
that's
right?
That's right. Yeah, they're mine.
What did it cost? I mean, give me an idea, because I'm not the mold expert. I'm more the marketing expert. When you were pumping these things out, you know, at that kind of volume, what was the cost on a unit? Forget punching them out, but materials and stuff.
Well, you have to get around without a label.
Without a label. Okay. Let's just say the design.
Somewhere between 5 and 7 cents a piece.
Uh-huh. Now, were you putting a bunch of labels on them at one time?
No. We had a company that in those days that had designed a machine,
mm-hmm.
and they could put them on faster than you could watch.
The machine could.
Yeah, it was a blur. Otherwise, it was too...
So were you sending them out to that company?
Yes, we sent them out or sold them to him blank.
Uh-huh.
Now, he's out. I don't know where he's at anymore either. I'd like to have got a hold of his machine, but I don't... you know, he designed it and built it himself.
So it was a label machine.
Yeah, it was a beautiful thing, too.
Where was he at? Do you have his information?
No, not anymore. It was up in L.A. somewhere. La Mirada is where it was at.
So you were selling millions of these things?
Millions of them.
How many million did you sell?
God, I don't know. Maybe 8 or 10.
But how did the word get out that you were producing them?
I don't know. I never advertised them or nothing. Just one guy would tell another guy or whatever, and I'd have them starting on a Wednesday afternoon. They'd be... small people, you know, like with vans or pickups.
Yeah.
And they'd back up in my driveway out here.
Uh-huh.
And they'd pull out a sandwich of money, and they'd start counting, and we'd start loading. And when they ran out of money, they'd drive off, and we'd get the next guy in.
What were you selling them for?
I was selling them for a quarter then.
Oh, man, you must have made a shitload. You must have made a million bucks.
Frickin' money. It's what paid for the building and everything.
That's exciting. All right, and that was just like a second thought. What, anything else you can think of? Any other... That's fair. You could start running those immediately, couldn't you?
Okay, I'm also in part. Oh yeah, they're ready to go. Now I'm also in partners with a doctor on a thing that you might be interested in.
Tell me.
He's never been able to make the frickin' thing fly, and I know he'd be well interested if I could come up with somebody that would peddle him.
All right, what is it?
Okay, he was an optometrist.
Yeah.
And in the eye industry, a lot of people are handicapped with large fingers or fingers that won't move correctly, you know, arthritis or whatever the case is.
Right. So, you mean patients?
Yes.
Okay.
Anybody that wears contact lenses is what I'm going to talk to you about. Okay. A lot of people want contact lenses, but they don't have the delicacy to put them in their eyes.
Got it.
So we made a special set of plastic tweezers with a silicone tip on them that allowed you to pick them out of a plate that we make also and put them in your eye.
And
we sell these things, but we can't get it off the ground. And we've been selling them for 10 or 12 years.
Who do you sell them to?
Okay, the guy's name, hang on, I got it here somewhere. It's called Marlin Industries, but Dr. Jerry Hirsch is the guy you want to talk to.
Did he patent it?
I don't think it's patented. No, we never did patent it.
Okay. And was he just selling them to his patients?
Well, no, you know, that too. But he has a thing called Marlin Industries, and he sells doodads through it. I don't know what all. I'm not a marketer.
I know. How many have you made for him?
Oh, over the years, we've probably done, I don't know, maybe 50 to 100,000.
Well, that's pretty good. And what does it cost to make that thing?
Oh, that we make good money on that. I sell them to him for, I think it's 28 cents a piece on the tweezer.
Mm-hmm.
And then he puts the silicone on it, and I think that costs him 3 or 4 cents a piece.
Mm-hmm.
And then he sells them for wholesale. I think by the time they get to the consumer, they're like $5 or $6.
Do you know what the product was called, what he called it?
No.
All right, but I bet I could find it.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Okay, all right.
He's up there in Northern California.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell is it called? I've got his phone number and name and everything around here if you want to get serious about it. He hadn't ordered in a while.
Well, let me see if I can. I'll search him and see if I can find it online.
Yeah, it's Marlin Industries.
Okay.
And it's a medical supply.
Okay, very good, very good. All right.
It would be more. You'd be more apt to find it under optometry.
Okay. All right. Tell me anything else. Just since I got you going.
No, that's.
That's it.
It's all that clicks in my mind.
All right, let's go back to the POG molds. These molds, these things, how many times you built new ones because they were kind of wearing
yeah,
down?
The other ones were getting kind of wore, and we wanted to make more money, obviously. So I even bought a molding machine. I bought a 150-ton JSW molding machine to run the 12-cavity mold in. And because, like I said, we were making money hand over fist. And we bought all that stuff, got the machine in, got it all ready to go, got it hooked up, did some cycle runs on it, finished the mold, put it in the press, and made about, I don't know, maybe 100 shots, maybe 1,000, 1,200 pieces on it, you know?
Perfect. Yeah.
And then that's when the frickin' bottom fell out of
it. And there's no one came around.
That was it. Just like it turned a switch on.
isn't that wild? Wow.
Where are you having your stuff made now when you buy these molds?
Well, when we find the mold, we have the molder just put it back to use.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so we're not moving it or anything. In some cases, we would, and we'd just contract with maybe a shop that would be local that's more convenient. But
where's your marketing in? Out of San Diego?
Yeah, I'm out of San Diego, California.
Okay.
Well, look, I've got all. This is great. I'm really glad you called. I appreciate it. And this has been some great information. I'm going to do a little research here, and let me ask you a question. Do you have some of those the slammers laying around with different designs?
Oh yeah, something else. Hang on, I got something else.
All right, what?
I about 8 or 10 years ago. I'm glad you jogged my memory on
good.
This one. About 8 or 10 years ago, I was dating two school teachers,
mm-hmm.
and they were elementary school teachers, and they kept complaining about implements to teach ABCs and the basic math conditions, you know, times, divide, da-da-da,
mm-hmm.
to the fourth graders down, because those little kids find it difficult to pencil and do things, see? So I come up with this idea, and it's a tile. It's 1 inch square, 1/8 inch thick, so that they can't chew it, they can't swallow it, it can't be put in their eye or up their nose or up their butt or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a product liability insurance factor there.
All right.
Okay, and it's made out of medical grade ABS.
Mm-hmm.
So even if they managed to chew a piece off of it and swallow it,
mm-hmm.
it would just go through their system.
Okay.
So anyway, we did all this research. We did all this BS, and then I even made flyers up on it. And at that time, we didn't have the internet or anything, so I was buying hit lists from those marketing companies that sell research for, you know, a specific area, like hobby shops or something.
Right, you were buying a direct list, okay.
There you go. Anyway, so I bought one for all of the elementary schools. God, it cost a lot of money, too.
Yeah, back then it did.
For all of the West Coast.
Okay.
That encompassed Oregon, Washington.
The actual elementary school teachers?
No, elementary schools only.
Okay.
And then I would send these flyers, would sit down and peel these labels off and put them on an envelope, put these flyers in an envelope, and send them. And we targeted fourth grade down because that's the market.
Mm-hmm.
But I suppose it would apply even up a little
okay,
bit.
Okay, yeah.
But anyway, fourth grade. And this item, we sold them in packages, and then it also, I don't know if they still use, I'm sure they do. I remember in school when they had the overhead projector where they would,
mm-hmm.
the teacher would have you at your desk with pencil and paper, and you'd sit, and she'd sit in the back of the room and project a figure or whatever up on the wall.
Yeah.
Okay. I even made transparent ones that would work on that machine so that you could blow, like say you're trying to teach the kid 2 plus 2 equals da da da.
Yeah.
So she could blow this thing up on the wall. He's got these tiles and learning instruments in front of his face, and he could put the picture together along with his program, and then he began to understand what was going on.
Okay.
I even have all of that. Oh, that was a big item, and I'll tell you what I got on that. I've probably got $50,000 worth of product all molded up and or stamped, and some of the stuff was even bagged up, ready to go.
Where that's all sitting in a warehouse?
It's all sitting here in my shop, yeah. All the stamping machine, the molds, everything. It's all here.
How many different molds? I don't have a picture of what this unit is.
Okay, it's a 1-inch square.
Yeah, 1-inch square.
8 thick.
Yeah.
Plastic, white plastic disc or plate.
Okay.
And on that is stamped figure ABCs. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, each one of those would be stamped with the appropriate one.
Kind of like Scrabble.
There you go.
Like a Scrabble piece.
And then on the mathematics, you got all of the schedules, like equals, times, blah, da, 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 da. And then 0 through 9.
Okay, got it.
So it's a puzzle of some sort.
Yeah.
That the teacher could teach the kids how to assemble to make it practical for him to decide that I want to buy an ice cream for 9 cents and I've got 25 cents in my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
What would I have left?
Would you be willing to send me one of those things? Can
yeah,
you dig it?
I could put your little package together and send it to you.
Put a little package. This is what I want to see. I want to see some of the designs of the slammers.
Yeah.
And one of those units. If you got $50,000 worth of things sitting there, maybe we can.
Oh, shit, yeah. And plus the molds, plus the.
So how many different molds was it for that? Just one with all the
mold, uh-huh. and all of those parts. No, that's not true. There was two molds because the clear ones had to be a thinner plastic, so there's got to be two molds for it.
Okay. And what were you making that one out of? The ABS only?
Yes, yeah. We make it out of clear ABS.
And it came out real nice?
Yeah, it came out pretty nice. It didn't come out clear like your other dead clear plastics, but again, I was back to the same thing. I didn't want to get into.
And are the letters, the indent of the letters, are they clear or they're not?
No, we use a black stamp, a hot stamp machine, black stamp.
Oh, and you just stamped them on there.
Yes.
Is it raised or?
No, it would be slightly, it would either be level or maybe a half a thousandth underneath.
Uh-huh, okay.
It's a hot stamp machine.
Okay. Very interesting. That's interesting, Boyd. Your first name's Boyd?
No, it's Clarence Boyd, but everybody calls me.
Okay,
Boyd.
Clarence. All right, excellent. Let me just give you my mailing address, okay?
Well, I got one here on this flyer.
Yeah, do it. That's fine.
4735 Claremont.
Put a little package together. I will definitely look at it. I want to do some research on the eyepiece, and then this has been great.
Okay, now I got some other molds popped in my head.
Okay, good.
Now, are you into the model airplane business at all?
Not really, but I know people who can be.
I was a project engineer for Cox Manufacturing, who makes those small U-Control, 049 control airplanes and cars and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so over the years, I have had wild hair ideas, and one of them was that I did some research on the spinner that goes on model airplanes.
Mm-hmm.
The most popular volumed spinner that's ever been sold is a 2-inch.
Now, is this the, not the propeller, is this the propeller?
No, it's the spinner that goes over the propeller.
Okay.
It's the pointed thing on the front end.
Yeah, okay, got it.
Because everything today, they use electric start. Everybody got their fingers chewed off so bad over the years.
Mm-hmm.
They decided that the electric start was the way to go, and that's, and so and you got to have a spinner to do those things.
Mm-hmm.
And the 2-inch one is the most popular volume consumed product there is. I researched that to make sure that, because I was only, I wasn't going to build a mold and not have, and get, well, anyway, I didn't want to build a mold that I couldn't sell parts on.
All right, and this is for the model airplane industry.
I have that mold, too.
And how many unit, how many cavity mold is that?
One front, one back plate.
Uh-huh.
And it's capable of making a pretty clip, pretty good rate, but the, but that's not the point. The cheapest 2-inch spinner you can buy on the market anywhere that I've been able to find is $249.
Mm-hmm.
I can make these, package them, and ship them for about 45 cents.
Mm-hmm. And it's just as good as any other 2-inch spinner.
Yeah, same thing. I copied them, as a matter of fact.
How many different spinners are out there did you see on the market?
Oh, they go all the way up. They start from about an inch and a half up to 6 inches. But the problem is when you get up to about 3 inches, there's a mix between plastic and metal.
Yeah.
And then after that, they're all metal.
Okay. All right, that's interesting. Probably not something for me, but that's good to know. Any other thing pop in your head?
No, not right now.
Okay, if something pops in your head, call me back.
All right.
All right, get me something out by Monday or Tuesday, okay?
All right.
Thank you very much.
As I hung up, I thought of an idea here that we've got that you might be really interested in.
Okay, let's do it.
The big thing now is in the golfing business.
Mm-hmm.
About 4 years ago, I come up with an idea on how to hold the clubs in a bag. And the nearest thing that, after I researched it, I could find, sold for $29.95, and it was a cheap piece of junk.
Well, what is it?
It holds clubs in your bag, and I'm going to send you my package sample with all of my literature.
All right.
I sold them. I sold them for several years.
How many did you sell?
I couldn't get any market. I didn't have any end. I didn't have any in for any kind of a volume thing.
Yeah.
I probably sold 40,000 packages of them.
And how much did they sell for?
I'd like to see them list for $9.99,
uh-huh,
which was about a third the cost of the nearest competitor, and mine was at least twice, if not three times better.
Okay, what made yours better than the other stuff out there?
Well, when it gets to you, I don't want to go into.
Okay, go. All right, send it. All right, that's fine. You didn't patent it or anything.
No, it's patent pending.
Oh, you got a patent pending on it?
Well, no, but I said I do.
Okay, that's
some
fine.
Parts is, all right. That's what scares everybody off anyway.
Yeah, that's true. Okay.
Anyway, this item, I've sold it for years, but...
Who'd you sell 30,000 of them to?
All over hell. It was some guy up there in Oregon that used to buy them from me. I don't know who the hell the guy is. You ask all these questions like I'm doing your work for you.
Well,
you're a marketer guy. You
no, but that's fine. But what happened to him?
Well, it just one thing led to another, and it didn't go anywhere. Hang on, I'm pulling it up for you.
Okay.
I got it. I sold it. The guy was really pumping them out, and then he was a Jewish guy, and he got somewhere where he started making more money on something else.
Yeah.
And he started doing that and letting mine slide. Then we had a blowout, and I said to hell with it, and I just slid the thing aside.
Okay.
I've got all the literature done, all of the flyers. I mean,
how many do you have made up?
Oh, there's probably 5,000 sets around here in packages ready to go.
Okay, and one other question. What did it cost to pump it out?
I wholesale them, depending on the volume, anywhere from a buck and a half to $2, ready to go to the customer, hang on the rack at the markets.
And let me ask you this. Were you ever a golfer yourself?
No, I never didn't do anything.
But the thing worked. It kept the club.
Oh,
the
my God, yeah. Because I used to donate them to when they'd have those golfing deals where they'd bring in money for charitable needs and stuff.
Yeah.
And I had people plaguing me wanting those things. And the feedback was always positive. I never had one negative feedback on it.
And what color are they?
They're black, so they go with any bag.
All right, send me one. Great.
And they fit any bag, too. Because I designed it so that they would be, it's a universal item. And these other things that they sell on the market, It's called Club Clip is the name of my product.
Club what?
Club Clip.
Club Clip, okay.
And anything else in the market wasn't universal. It wouldn't fit any and all bags.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never found a bag yet that mine wouldn't fit.
Well, very good. And the mold, does it just pump them one at a time?
Oh, yeah, it pumps them out to beat a rat's butt. Yeah, one. It goes like hell.
Okay. Excellent. Send it to me.
I can't find the literature here. It's here some friggin' place. But I'm sending you a sample of it in the package, ready like you would, just like you would see it at the store if you were going to.
You got it.
And the flyer's in there with it, so you'll see how we did that flyer device.
Keep thinking, Boyd. You're going to come up with something else you forgot about.
I know. There's all kinds of...
Well, call me back, okay?
Yeah.
All right, bye.
All right, this is going anyway today.
Thank you. Hi, this is Michael Sinoff with HardToFindSeminars.com. I hope you're enjoying these calls. I hope you're paying attention and listening real closely to all the different items that they used to manufacture and all this valuable tooling sitting there right in their shop just waiting on someone with some good marketing skills to take over. This is the end of part one. Please continue for the rest of these recordings in part two.